Om Shanti. Thank you, Rajesh Bhai, for such a lovely introduction. I must say that sitting here in meditation with all of you, there's a little exercise I usually do to launch my yoga, which is just to consider myself a soul, see the home and Baba above, but on my left, my angelic form, and on my right, my deity form. And then I decide where I want to go, the home, my angelic form, or my deity form. But today, somehow, what seemed most attractive and most exciting was to go nowhere, just be a Brahmin. That belonging, that one who belongs to God, is enjoying God's companionship and just playing the part we probably would have been looking to play for 2,500 years, which is just being an instrument for God and helping others make that connection. Which is a long way of saying it's lovely to have this opportunity to see you, to be with you like this. And it's a very interesting topic, actually. Although I feel in this topic there are at least two topics, two classes. Because the subject is being a constant lover of God. So you have the whole subject of love, which is a huge subject, right? And then you also have the whole subject of constant, which is another whole subject. Because love, it is so much not what we were doing with it for 2,500 years. How many understand that and agree with that? Yeah. Anyway, we suspected when we came into Gyan, even before, that love is not what society and culture were telling us it was. And especially love for God. 2,500 years, what was our love for God? On the one extreme, it could have been complete rejection of the concept because so many horrible things were happening and where was God? Why? How did he allow these things to happen? So on one extreme, rejection. And then on the other, complete blind faith and adoration, which was just emotional. And then in the middle, negotiating, bargaining with God, going to him with requests and promises. And that is so completely nothing to do with the kind of love that God is introducing us to, or emerging in us again. Nothing. And there's two definitions I've come to really relate to on this concept of love. First one is how this love that even before Gyan many of us suspected was just not to be found. Neither in people nor in things. This love is actually just an energy. it's a certain caliber of wavelength, of frequency. And apologies if that sounds too mechanical or technical. But I actually found myself relating to that definition of love for a long time. The first bunch of years, maybe two decades of my Brahman life. It's an energy, a very elevated frequency, metaphysical, spiritual energy. And we are made of that energy. We are made of that energy. I'll go into that a little bit more in a few minutes. But it means that we are naturally and automatically in that wavelength, on that wavelength. And that wavelength originates from Baba, the Supreme Soul. So we know that love. And our efforts on this spiritual path is to just get ourselves tuned back up to that wavelength. Because we've fallen out of that wavelength. But originally it's what we know. In the confluence age, God is pulling us up into that wavelength. He's there in that wavelength, and that's the meeting. It's a very pure frequency, filled with all the things that we love, like joy, which is also an energy, or peace, power. All of these are energies on that wavelength. And when we get it, when we're tuned up and no longer going out of tune, we all go home. He stays there, and we come into a golden and silver age in which we're vibrating at that frequency, naturally, automatically. And that's how we end up constant, right? I was listening to Sister Kala yesterday. She was meeting with the Israelis via Zoom, and she said something so lovely, actually talking about happiness, but I think it applies to all our five qualities. Baba talks about constant happiness. How can we be happy, period, when the rest of the world is suffering so much? So she was sharing how that was such a question for her for many years in the beginning. But then, constant happiness, when the reality is we've got 2,500 years worth of the exact opposite of happiness sitting in the soul. So she was saying, if we can just understand that Baba keeps going back to points like this again and again, not to make us feel bad about ourselves, but to just remind us that this is our aim. This is our aim. So just as constant happiness, we can understand it's our original natural nature. It's an aim. So is this love. So is this love. Especially to end up constantly loving. And the golden age, we end up constantly loving. And in between, we have someone who's worthy of being loved constantly. Because look around you. I don't know that you'll find someone who you can reliably emerge in your heart constant feelings of love, because there's so much garbage in my own heart. But God, so he's there to help us reach this aim of this constant love. But then, like I was saying before, it's going to be constant because it's natural, right? This is, and this is one of my main inspirations. This is who I am. I am made of this energy of happiness, pure happiness, this energy of love. So it's really coming, it's really a question of coming back to what is original and true in me. Not that I have to create it, it's there. In which case, the work of ending up constantly loving is probably twofold. On the one hand, pulling out the weeds which have emerged in the soul. And number two, cultivating the garden, the flowers, the originally elevated wavelength, which is what the soul is made of. Two things, right? Pulling the weeds, getting out all those negativities, but then cultivating the garden. It's probably because we forgot, we lost touch with that inner garden and how to really take care of it, cultivate it, that all the weeds grew, right? We got attracted to artificial flowers and spent a lot of time buying out the market of artificial flowers. You understand what I'm talking about? Trying to get love and happiness from the outside, for people and things. So the inner garden was neglected and the weeds took over, basically, we can say. The weeds took over. So I think if we look at these two aspects, we might get some insights about at least how to move us closer to this aim of being a lover of God and also a constant lover of God. And before I go any further in that, I'd like to invite us into a little bit of a reflection, which is, can you note for yourself now, quietly, either mentally or on paper, 3 to 5 aspects of change you've seen in yourself? 3 to 5 aspects of things you've seen have really changed in yourself for the better since you've become a Brahmin. So you're not sharing this, you're just thinking about it and noting it. 3 to 5 aspects. Okay? Yeah? This means yes, this means no. Yeah, you're very quiet. Yeah, okay. Yeah, thank you. So, you know, take your self-respect in hand and turn to somebody you don't know and introduce yourself in this way. Share 2 or 3 of the things that have changed in you since you've become a Brahmin. Afterwards, we'll look at how this is connected to our theme. Okay? Share for a few minutes. Okay, 1 more minute. Isn't it nice to get to know somebody on this basis? If we do it enough, we might override the other tendency of the intellect that's constantly seeing defects. So, what is the connection between an exercise like this and our theme? Because the theme for today is being a constant lover of God. And yet I've just asked you to look at changes in yourself. What's the connection? And I think we're going to need a roving mic, Rajesh Bhai. Or at least, yeah, roving would be best. Otherwise, you can just come up. Yeah, anybody like to share? What is the connection between an activity like we just did and this theme. Yeah, would you like to stand up? And if you speak loud enough, maybe we can... Oh, here comes the mic. That's great. Yeah, good.
Om Shanti, what I felt was, before coming into Gyan, anybody asked to change anything in ourselves, not easy. Mm. We are sometimes very adamant. So when we discuss about such big changes in ourselves, of course from small to large, only God has the power to change. And each one of us has so much to share what we have changed, transformed rather. So right. Yeah, only the love for God could do this magic.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Yeah, Margaret?
It seems as when we see the change in ourselves and we appreciate that change, we love the one who's helped us to change.
Mm-hmm. Om Shanti. I got like 5 points I could come up with. First one is like being careful about the present and careless about the future. So if my present is carefully done, I don't have to worry about the future.
Choose your best 3 and okay. Give us 1.
Oh, okay, 1. So I think I should say loveful, being more loveful to all unconditionally.
Oh, that's a great change. And so the question is, thank you, brother, the question is, why this exercise? How is it connected to being a constant lover of God?
Om Shanti. This exercise has been connected to this particular topic, constant lover, because I'm always in a constant belief that someone is there with me who is guiding me and giving me the right path. And whether I'm doing a wrong or a right, it is just His touching. Like, He is Karan Karavanhar and I'm the Nimit Karanhar. So that's how it is.
That's nice. Thank you.
Very nice. Yeah. It is connected because for whom we brought the changes in us. It is for the God, because when we are loving the God, we try to become equal to Him. Mm. We try to become equal to Him. That's why we bring some changes in us. Mm. And God love only that person who stay in their original innate qualities. So that thing I feel that because of the changes and the self-respect only makes to be a constant lover of God.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, these are all beautiful ideas and I totally relate to them. Can we take just a minute or two of silence to make that connection? I have changed. I am changing. And it is definitely thanks to Him. I see changes in myself, changes I might have always tried to make in the past. I couldn't do it, but it's happening. And it is thanks to Him. So we just take a minute or two. So I think this is one very practical way of moving towards being a constant lover of God is to keep an eye always on my progress. This cultivates the flowers in me. This nurtures that very elevated high-frequency wavelength and my ability to stay tuned into it. Gratitude. Appreciation. Because, you know, these little changes, little or big, are what's moving me towards perfection. I would have wanted my whole life to have good relationships, easy, happy relationships. They weren't happening. And now I see I'm so much more accepting of people, for example. So it is making relationships work better. It is moving me towards a golden age kind of relationship with others. How great is that? And yes, it's thanks to Him. So every day, I think we should find at least 5 things to be grateful for, appreciative of, in my own change process. And that definitely cultivates the flowers, or that wavelength and my access to it and my ability to live in it and stay longer in it. Because, and this is the second definition of love that I really relate to over this last while, something Sister Mohini was sharing, which is that love is not about emotionally satisfying another. It's not about the satisfaction of emotion. Isn't that great? More, it's a fulfillment of treasure. So see how God loves me. He's not out to satisfy emotion, which is what we've been doing. That's been us in the business of loving for 2,500 years. But He is fulfilling us. He's filling us with treasure. So, to acknowledge this, to appreciate it, I think not only does it enable me to fill more and more with treasure, come into that wavelength, but it also makes me a better instrument because as an instrument, that's all I want. I want others to also start filling with His treasures. And so just that awareness that this is the mission, this is my purpose in life. The other day in Murli, Baba was saying, everyone has their own part. Your part is to remember God and to help others claim their inheritance from God. This is claiming the inheritance, helping others fill with treasure. So, going back to the first aspect, in order to increase our ability to stay with that love for God, pulling weeds from the garden. Because as I was saying before, it's one thing to cultivate the flowers, but there are a lot of weeds. And actually, just cultivating flowers sometimes needs to be balanced with some hardcore confrontation of the negativity inside. Do you agree? Yeah, it is very, very powerful to just bring that love, aim that love at the negativity. But sometimes we're going to find that maybe a first few steps before that make the love hit the target more successfully or just altogether prove more effective a process. So one thing that Baba recommends us to do is just to give to Him any of our burdens, any of our issues, any of those aspects in ourselves which isn't helping us come back to the original wavelength. I have worked for years with 5 steps for this. I don't know if you might have heard these steps before. They come from Anthony. They're very, very helpful to really hand something over to Baba. I don't know what your process has been, but I have found these 5 steps to be helpful. I've used it for years, and I find myself even using it again recently. So I'll share those 5 steps with you. Are you interested? Yeah, okay. I'll share these 5 steps with you, but you might want to learn the steps by actually applying them. In this sense, take a minute now just to identify some difficulty in your Brahman journey. Either a sanskara you've identified in yourself already, or a relationship or a situation which you would really like to just hand over to Baba and see it finished, but it's not happening. Identify that. You don't have to share what it is, but just touch it. Hold it for this little exercise now. Okay? Everyone have one? Doesn't take too long, unfortunately. We've got one right there. Okay, so the first step in what, in my experience, is really handing it over to Baba, is to be extremely honest about my part in this. If you've got a sanskara that you'd like to hand over to Baba, you've already started the first step. Be very honest that, yes, I have this sanskara. It is in me. If it's a situation or a relationship, look very carefully as to what is your part making that situation difficult or relationship. Maybe it's your ego, your stubbornness, your inability to let go of the past. Be very honest about what's going on in you. What is that sanskara which is not allowing things to be moving forward successfully? That's the first step. And so you're doing this as well as understanding steps. Go ahead and do it. Second step is go very deeply into the harm that sanskara is doing to yourself and to the relationships or situations around you. Go very deeply into the harm. So, for example, if you've identified that it seems like my part in all of this is that I don't seem to let go of the past. So in the second step, I'm really looking at the harm that that's giving to me, to others, the atmosphere. It makes me stuck. And it also pulls others into a stuck place. So like that, be very clear and also honest. Third step. See if you can figure out what you've been using that sanskara for. What excuse or reason have you been giving yourself up to now to continue with that sanskara? It must be that you're getting something out of it. In this third step, try and see what have you been getting out of that sanskara, which is why it's still there, even though you don't like it or want it. That's okay. You can go over them again later, giving yourself in front of Baba's picture. The sister's question was, what if you can't answer the question? That's okay. They sometimes take some real soul searching. So you will just note the steps and put yourself in front of your best picture of Baba and go through it, giving yourself more time. Fourth question, and this is really preparing now to hand it over. Imagine yourself in front of Baba. And have this little conversation with Baba. Look, Baba, I've understood this sanskara of mine. I see the harm it's doing. I see what I was using it for. And Baba, I do not want to continue harming myself or others with this. I do not want to continue this. And also, Baba, I do not need to get this, whatever it is I was getting from this sanskara before. I don't need this anymore. So, for example, if I wasn't letting go before, because it kind of maybe allowed me just to continue with what's familiar. Comfort zone. Rather than bother to make the change, upgrade my perspective, that takes effort. Maybe it's just getting through laziness and carelessness a kind of comfort zone. So I'm telling Baba in this fourth step, I've understood this thing. And I don't need a comfort zone based on that anymore. I've got your comfort zone, the true comfort zone. I don't need to make these false comfort zones anymore. So in this fourth step, I'm preparing to hand it to Baba because I understand, A, I don't want to be harming myself or others, and I don't need this thing anymore. And in the fifth step, I make a promise. Based on the first four steps, because I've thoroughly understood the harm, thoroughly understood what I've been using it for, and I don't need to use relationships and people and situations to fulfill that need anymore. I've got Baba for that. Now I'm ready to say, look, Baba, I'm giving this thing to you. I don't want it, I don't need it, and I absolutely promise I'm not touching it anymore. Fifth step, a promise. I don't want it, I don't need it. And so, it's yours. I'm not going to touch it anymore. This is handing it over to Baba. And it really needs to be done with time in front of a picture of Baba. And there is a sixth step, you could say, but that's especially for when you have some time to sit with meditation. And that is, anytime you give something to Baba, he will give you something back, right? So open yourself to that. Having given it to Baba, what will Baba give you back? If your issue was not letting go of a thing, holding on to the past, what will he give you back? See now a few minutes. Do the fifth step. Make your promise. And see what he gives you back. The idea is that you can't remove it in one go. You'll probably have to do this several times. But each time you do it, you will feel lighter. And eventually you'll see it's gone. Especially if you put into practice what Baba gave you. So next time there's that feeling of holding on to the past when I see that person coming from the past, if instead I use what Baba's given me, for example, surprisingly, maybe Baba would have just given me easiness. As if Baba's in front of me saying, child, just be easy, it's okay, lightness, I'm going to take care of everything, don't you worry. So next time I see that person and I see that old sanskara coming up, I'm just practicing, no, I'm going to be light, easy, Baba said he's going to take care of everything. So practicing it, plus doing this exercise a couple more times, and you'll see, each time you'll be lighter, and eventually it'll be replaced. I have this experience on many, many different sanskaras. So ultimately how this fits into the theme is that, obviously if I'm getting rid of negativities, I'm closer and closer to my original wavelength, my original vibration, pure, happy, peaceful, loving. And it'll go a long way in helping me to love Baba. Actually, another aspect of the exercise that we did, it was everything you all were saying. Obviously, if I can appreciate what God is really doing in my life. He's not doing the things I thought he was doing for 2,500 years and loved him for that. Actually, what he's doing is teaching me. He's coming in and giving me knowledge and then guiding my purification process. So it is that. We did that exercise because keeping my eye on my own changes and my increasing happiness and peace and love is definitely going to make me love him more and more for who and what he really is and what he's really doing. But another reason to do an exercise like we did before, note our changes, is because it also helps me to love myself. Because who has God come to rescue? He's not come to rescue Sharona. Right? He's come to rescue the baby angel inside. Who am I identified with more? Am I still identified with Sharona or that baby angel? Because there is not much to love about Sharona. Sharona is the result of these last 2,500 years and all influences on the soul, right? Not much to love, honestly. But that little baby angel that he's put his eye on and he's nurturing and feeding, she is so lovable, so wonderful. So to get to know myself, the real self, this also helps me to tune in and cultivate that original energy, that original wavelength. You follow that? Yeah? This means yes. This means no. Yeah? Okay. But, you know, when all is said and done, I think there's really one foundational attention to be paying in order to reach this aim of becoming loving perfectly, constantly, through this intermediate step of loving God constantly. One overall attention or spiritual endeavor. One word. What would you say? Anybody have an idea? It would be nice to get it all down to one word, wouldn't it? And focus. Mm? One family. Nice. 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 Gratitude. We didn't look at it yet in the class. So actually what I'm thinking of is faith, which is very close to trust, trust, trust. There are so many things to trust or to have faith in, which while I'm not trusting or I don't have faith, just keep creating weeds in my garden, keep pulling me out of that high frequency, elevated self. This is traffic control. So the thing about trust and faith is to really understand and prove to myself that reality is just absolutely beyond science fiction. That there is in the universe a supremely perfect being. He's fully, totally interested in me and has come into my life, intercepted my journey, and is there for me 1,000%. How much do I trust that? Because so much of our weakness, and you need a lot of strength to tune up to that high vibration. A lot of the weakness which keeps us out of that comes from overthinking. if we can cut the number of thoughts we have because we trust that I'm partnering with Baba. I'm partnering with Baba in terms of getting rid of my own sanskaras. I'm partnering with Baba in terms of improving relationships. I'm partnering with Baba in terms of any difficult situations, which are only karmic accounts. I've got a partner, I've got a companion, I've got a friend. He's got all the powers. And he's present, like in today's Murli, so present just with one purpose, to hand them over to me, to inject me with them, to pull me into them. So if I can experiment with trusting that, it's not carelessness, it's not laziness, but it's lightness. And following Srimad as best I can, as best I can. Do whatever I need to do so that I can cultivate trust in this Baba, in this support. I know we all have stories, and I'm always hearing new stories, and I'm always having stories myself. But even recently, I don't know why or how, but I moved into such a mood. I couldn't figure it out. It just kind of hit me. No thinking would have worked it out. So I didn't try that for too long, because I'm on to how Maya really sits there in the intellect, filling you with doubts, filling you with questions. You have to know this about Maya. This is one aspect of pulling the weeds, by the way. Recognize this Maya. She's sitting in the intellect. She's the one creating the questions and the doubts. So I didn't go there. I didn't try to understand with my mind or my intellect what was going on. I just tried to identify what was the feeling. Not to go into it, why, but just what was the feeling, what was going on. And I uncovered a very interesting word, a word I wouldn't have ever really associated myself with before. But that was the definition of that feeling, that mood. And I just sat in front of Baba and said, Baba, what's this? I am made in your image. What is this energy? What is this mood? And then I used my two favorite mantras, which if you've ever heard a class of mine before, you could have heard it before. These are my favorite. First mantra is, in other words, no other thought in the mind, just this thought. Baba, you have said that however I am, whatever I am, wherever I am, whenever I call you, you will be present in front of me. That's my favorite mantra. Overrides all overthinking. That's it, nothing else, Baba. You have said, this was, he said this in a Murli. Wherever I am, however I am, whenever I call you, you will be in front of me. And so, Baba, I'm calling you right now. And then I just repeated that. The second one is, Baba, I move on the basis of your love. That's it. I don't even have to feel it. Just say it. No other thought. It never has failed. Whether the body's not well and I'm having trouble getting out of bed, I'm suddenly up. I don't know why, how. Or more importantly, I just waited. I just waited with this odd, weird feeling. And suddenly it was gone. It was just gone. I was up, moving around, doing my day, smiling. And the next time I was in front of a picture of Baba, we just winked at each other. We winked. So this is this partnership. I mean, really, who has come to help us? Yes, I have to take a first step of courage, which might be, I'm not going to think any other thought. That's courage. Because usually we want to be in control, we want to be in charge, we want to think the things through. Me, myself, and I. Thanks, Baba, I'll work it out on my own. No. That's the first step of courage. Trust. Trust. What's there not to trust? We're in a repeating drama. And we are victorious. So this is trust. I am going to make it. I don't have to battle, as he was saying. I don't have to war anymore. Use him, he says all the time. And actually, this came up in a Murli the other day. Did you catch it? He was saying, the reason you forget me is because you don't have faith. So if there's one thing to be cultivating, one thing to put our attention on, can I not really focus on increasing my faith in Baba as my partner and my friend and my guide and his presence right next to me just for this purpose? And then there's faith in every elder subject too. But those are other stories. Well, Rajesh Bhai was going to come up and we were going to have a nice conversation on the subject, but there isn't a lot of time left, so maybe I can just ask Rajesh Bhai any questions you were thinking of, or maybe you all have a question?
Rather than asking questions, I think I'll just put it on to audience. Do you all have any questions? I can just pass on to the mic to you all. So you people are totally contented, looks like, from the class. So there you go, you have one. Okay.
By the way, I forgot one other tip, which is be gentle with yourself. Be kind. Be gentle. Know how to balance discipline and obedience with forgiving yourself, accepting yourself as you are. Yes, sister.
The second mantra that you gave, I am moving in trust with of your love. Can you just elaborate a little bit on it, please?
Yeah. I move on the basis of your love. It's just a kind of... First of all, it's to be repeated like a mantra. Not too much thinking or understanding, but... The reality that, you know, love is this one energy which connects us soul to soul. It's not something I have to create. It's not something I have to be worthy of or make myself worthy of. Peace is the energy which anchors us in eternity. Joy is the energy which moves us forward in our journey. Love is the energy which jumps the soul and connects us, soul to soul. But before that, supreme soul to soul, soul to supreme soul. And when we get it cleaned up, then it's safe to, or it cleans out the connectedness between us all. So I'm just remembering that and enjoying that. Baba, your love is the way we're connected. It's like a tube, and that's the energy flowing, connecting us. It's there. And that's what's making me move. Anyone else?
Anyone else? Okay.
Om Shanti, sister. How would you define the difference between trust and faith?
Yeah, I really don't know. Maybe trust is more faith in practice. I mean, because I have faith in goodness, I will require of myself acts of goodness more and more. And that's trusting goodness. But I really don't know, you know, the difference between the two. Maybe we can look it up in the dictionary or ask Dr. Google. The main thing is, let me have it. Let me have it.
Om Shanti, sister. I have a question, like in your Purusharth, what is working out for you to be constantly intoxication? Sometime that nasha, right? Intoxication will be there. Sometime will be down in Purusharth, sometime will be up, and not constantly.
That's right. That's right. Honestly, at this point, it's really doing everything I can to cultivate that relationship with Baba. How quickly can I remember that he's right beside me and I'm talking to him? So I'm not looking to talk to someone else. But even if I've no issue or no problem, but just talk to him. In one way or another, make what is beyond science fiction my norm. Talk about a new norm. Keep talking to him. It basically comes down to how to increase my remembrance. And that's where I come back to this point of, you know, do everything possible to increase my faith. Faith in everything, right? That everything is good, Father's good, Dharma's good, I'm good, everyone is good. And keep working with my goodness, trusting goodness.
Yes, sir. So there's one question, I think. I'll take it as last one.
Is there someone else here?
Okay. Yeah.
Shanti, regarding the words we are using from English dictionary, there is belief, there is faith, and there is trust. Which one can we say is somehow axiomatic, the one who is inherent to us and we can cultivate?
Trust.
Trust.
Yeah, thank you. It's a very lovely question. In the Golden Age, I think we're so light because we trust. Belief, I think, is it's a very like surface experience. Like, I understand that I'm a soul in peace. That's my original religion, peace. I can understand how that is. And as I experience it more, I can believe it. I can believe that this is the truth. But accepting it, living accordingly, that requires a lot more attention. And probably it's the extent to which I've started living accordingly, accepting it for my life, means not allowing the peacelessness to control me. That's where we start entering into trust. I trust that peacefulness is a truth, and I'm not going to allow myself to be peaceless and enter the whole world of peacelessness and contribute to that and make others peaceless also. Possibly, I'm just thinking about it for the first time. Rajesh, you had a question.
Yeah, so there is a question somebody has asked. So, what are some of the practical tips for being a constant lover whilst doing business or at office or being a homemaker, because all this requires a lot of focus, you know. There's a lot of, so at that point in time, how can be like, I can be constant lover for, yeah, with God.
Yeah.
Is
again,
it practical? Because in if on at the very worldly level, we all have come from relationships. In physical level, we go on dating. We did date. We did exchange, flowers, Valentine days. That's at the Lokic level. But now all of a sudden, we have to shift into complete silence. Like you have to go introvertedness. So how do I reconcile this and have a focus and have constant for that? Because to shift somewhere upward, and horizontally it was easy, now I have to shift it upward.
Yeah.
What is the easy yukti or method to focus?
Yeah, understood. It is a big jump, and I mean, all along I was kind of giving some practical tips, but essentially I think it's just to continue to be aware. I was not calling it the vertical connection versus the horizontal, which is easy because you see and it's gross and physical. I was calling it beyond science fiction, you know, that there is someone, even though he's not physical, my physical senses won't perceive him. So I think even just to keep acknowledging this, just to keep remembering and trying to see where once again I'm going outside, horizontal, looking for comfort, looking for appreciation, looking for love, when I should have proved to myself already that that doesn't satisfy the soul, that doesn't fill the soul with treasure, that doesn't give any kind of real, eternal, spiritual, godly love, which is what the soul needs by the end of the cycle. So just to honestly realize when here once again I'm going horizontal, when I need to be going vertical, so acknowledging it, number one. Number two, knowing it's an aim and never getting hard on myself if I still haven't reached it. It's a journey, it's a process. Keep noticing all the good things that are happening to me, changes in me, and appreciating Baba. Because appreciation and gratitude is already a more elevated wavelength, moving me towards that highest frequency. Because once again, that love that we want to feel for God is a vibration, a very high vibration. Positivity of every sort. Anytime I can be positive, I am tuning up, preparing to connect and enjoy Baba. Negativity of any sort unplugs me, makes it even more difficult to find the plug, find the socket, etc. Keep talking to him. Different things like that.
Thank you very much, Sister Sharona. You such an abstract concepts and topics and ideology. You brought it into very practical and made it easy for our journey. It was very nice. Thank you so much.